use and how involved and connected or overly connected you are with technology. So the first question that's asked is, and you answer yes or no. You can write it down or you can answer in your mind and keep track of your yes answers, all right? Do you text and drive even though you know it is not the safe thing to do?
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze's study is titled Technology, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Technology, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Technology, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Before we get into the message today, there is a book that I don't have, but I heard a broadcast concerning this book, and this book is entitled The Digital Invasion. I believe that's the third slide that's up there, and I would recommend this book to the saints of God. We don't have it in our bookstore, and I probably should have talked to Linda ahead of time to see if we can order it and get it in, but it deals with the fact of how technology is shaping you and your relationships. And it's written by Dr. Archibald Hart and his daughter, Dr. Sylvia Hart. And it's just, they've done a lot of research. Both of them are psychologists. So they've not only looked at it from the technical side, but they looked at it from the psychological side. And I heard the broadcast, they did an interview on Focus on the Family a couple of weeks ago, and it was a powerful interview. And as a matter of fact, some of the information that I'm going to share today actually comes from that interview. But I would recommend that you get a copy of this book if you can. Did we pass out the notes? Okay, so the notes are passed out. Now, on the next slide, and I'm going to do more teaching than anything this morning, so I'll be referring a lot probably to the notes and to the PowerPoint. But on the next slide, what we have is a digital use assessment quiz. And actually, Dr. Sylvia Hart put this together, and there's 10 questions, and I want to go through them. And as we go through the 10 questions, at the end, it rates you as to your digital use and how involved and connected or overly connected you are with technology. So the first question that's asked is, and you answer yes or no. You can write it down or you can answer in your mind and keep track of your yes answers, all right? Do you text and drive even though you know it is not the safe thing to do? Yes or no? Do you get the urge to use your smartphone when someone else is talking to you? Yes or no? Do you feel something hasn't really happened until you post it on Facebook? Yes or no? Does your family sit in the same room but do not talk to each other because you are all interacting with digital gadgets? Yes or no? Do you find a ringing or vibrating cell phone interrupts and trumps everything else? Yes or no? Number six, do you lie about your internet or online gambling use? Yes or no? Are you experiencing a loss of interest in other activities you used to enjoy? Number eight, do you neglect yourself, sleeping, eating, those such things, because of the time spent in the digital world? Number nine, do you feel anxious if you are offline for a period of time? And number 10, do you ever think about how you could focus better in real life with all these gadgets invading your space? So keep in mind the number of yes answers that you gave to the quiz, and we'll go to the next slide. And this is what, now again, I didn't develop this. Dr. Hart developed this. So this is what she said. If you had zero yes answers, perfect. You are doing well in managing your digital world. If you answer yes 1 to 3 times, your digital usage is good. If you answer yes 4 to 6 times, you have a problem. So caution is needed. If you answered yes 7 to 10 times, your digital engagement is excessive. So take immediate steps to bring it under control. So like I said, I don't know if you wrote down the answers or if you recorded them in your mind, but you know where you are. You know, I took it and, you know, I didn't score 0, but I scored 1 to 3. So I'm good. You know, I was again, I didn't develop this, so you know, a psychologist developed it. So I feel okay, I'm good. I'm gonna go according to them. But some of you might not be so good. So you really need to hear the message today. All right. As we look at technology, there are 3 observations that we can make about technology. The first thing is that technology is not new. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, he said there's nothing new under the sun. So technology is not new. As a matter of fact, if we go and read through the scriptures, we see technology developing all throughout the Word of God. People went from fighting with stones to actually fighting with spears. Well, what was that? That was technology. And one day, you know, when they were in warfare, they would use stones and bricks and those kind of things to fight, and then they advanced the spears. From an agricultural standpoint, farmers went from digging with tools by their hands to using animals that pull plows. What was that? That was technology. And from a domestic standpoint, people went from eating with their hands to using plates, utensils, and drinking vessels. So as we look at the Word of God, we see that technology is not new. The second thing I want to say about technology is that it is neutral. It can be good or evil. Technology is just like money. Money can be used for good. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul talks about how that people who had given to the missions that he was involved in, how that they had done a good thing. So here we see a case where money was used for good, but it also can be used for evil, because Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10 that the love, he didn't say money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. So technology is just like money. It can be used for good, or it can be used for evil. And then the third thing, which is probably the most important, and that is technology shapes our lives. Think about how your life is now dependent on technology. To get here today, you took advantage of technology by some type of motorized vehicle. As you sit here today and listen to the message, some of you have the old-fashioned Bibles, but many of you have smartphones, iPads, and you have your Bible on there. Technology is shaping your lives. Even as we look at the scripture, we see that technology shaped the lives of the people in scripture. Take, for instance, Adam and Eve, who at one point walked around naked. And after they fell, what did God provide for them? He provided for them fig leaves, and that's what they wore. Well, I don't see too many people sitting here this morning with fig leaves. And why is that? Because technology, from a clothing standpoint, has evolved to where we are today. So you can see how technology shapes the lives of people. Even Noah, he went from being a person who primarily dwelt on land, and now he built a ark that was able to float on water. His whole life changed whenever that was built. And then we think of the people at the Tower of Babel. Just think about, and this is a case where technology was used for evil. That God had created mankind and allowed mankind to begin to spread out across the face of the earth. And then all of a sudden, what did man discover? Man discovered how to make a brick. And when he found out how to make a brick, what did he get the wise idea that he was going to do? He said, let us build a tower, let us build a sky rise that reaches up into heaven. Well, why did they want to do that? They wanted to do that because of technology. So technology shapes our lives. I know for me, back in the day when, you know, I used to prepare a message, it would take me a lot longer than it does today. I mean, because I've got a computer, I've got an iPad, I've got 30 Bibles on my iPad, I've got probably 25 commentaries, I've got song books, I've got illustration, I've got everything right there. And so instead of, you know, getting in my car, going to the library, spending hours walking up and down the bookshelves, looking for the books that I want, everything is right at my fingertips. And so technology, I know from a firsthand experience, has shaped my life. And technology has shaped your life. And all you have to do is look and see where you are, and you can see how technology has shaped your life. So the message today is technology, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's look at the good. We see that technology has been a tremendous blessing to humanity and to believers. Technology has been a blessing. And for us, for anybody to stand up and say that technology is a curse, they would be absolutely wrong. Technology has been a blessing. As I said earlier, technology has made our lives a lot easier. Anybody that's ever been to my house, you know that around, that I got a corner lot and I got a big yard. And around most of my yard is hedges all the way around. And some hedges are higher than my head, so I have to get on the ladder. And I remember when I first moved, I had the handheld clippers. And you had to go around, and it took me, you know, I didn't even try to do it in one day. You know, I would start cutting, and then I'd go take a rest, cut some more, then I'd go back out the next day. That's how long it took. Now I've got a pair of electric hedge clippers, and not only electric, but then they got the kind where you charge up a battery and you put the battery in there, and I just walk along, and I can do that probably in a tenth of the time that it took me with the other ones. So technology has made life easier. Technology has allowed us to access things faster. You know, on Mondays, sometimes when I'm off, after I come back from the gym, I like to watch Michael Strahan, you know, on Kelly and Michael. And they have this thing that they do where if you watch the program the day before, they ask a question. And if you answer the question, they'll call somebody on the phone. And if you answer the question, you win this expensive trip somewhere. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, to expensive places that cost thousands of dollars. And so they'll call somebody and the person will be on the phone and they will say, on yesterday's program, we had so-and-so on. And so-and-so said this. And the person has 20 seconds to answer the question. Now, that person might not even have watched the program the day before. And some people will go all the way down to the last second out of those 20 before they answer it. And you know why? Because they're on their computer. They're on their computer, And as soon as they ask the question, I don't know if they pulled up the previous show. I don't know if they pulled up. I don't know how they do it. But some people answer the question, like when there's 2 seconds left, and then Michael and Kelly will kind of joke with them and say, yeah, that computer really worked good for you today, right? So technology has allowed us to access things faster. Technology makes information available to us in various mediums. We have print, we have pictures, we have videos. Technology has made it possible for us to stay in touch with family, friends, and colleagues. I know a lot about my son, and I know a lot about my grandchildren in Hawaii because my daughter-in-law posts stuff on Facebook. Now, I'm not on Facebook, but my other kids, they show me the pictures and stuff like that. So technology has made it possible for us to stay in touch with people around us. Technology aids the believer in following after godliness. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, Paul said, pursue godliness. He said, go after godliness. And so technology has helped us to be able to go after godliness. How is that? Because on the internet, on television, we're spreading the gospel. People that have never heard the gospel or might not ever hear the gospel, because of technology, they can hear the gospel. Websites are devoted to biblical resources. You can go and see resources on websites that have commentaries, Bibles, theological works. I think about many of us who go to walk or go to the gym. What's one thing that we have over our ears? We have our headphones. And what are we doing? We're listening to, praise and worship, listening to soul music, listening to some type of music that inspires and encourages us. Well, how can we do that? How can we get through that workout? It's technology that helps us to get through it. We can use the media to invite people to come to church. We can post things on Facebook. We can post things online where people can see what's happening at Bethany Baptist Church. And they can be informed, and they can come here, and they can hear the gospel. Daily devotions. I know many of you have your devotions online. You are signed up for Charles Stanley, David Jeremiah, or somebody, and every day you get a devotion, and you sit there, and you have your devotions. As I said, for me, Bible software programs just have been a tremendous source of help. And one of the key things that we see today, which as at one point I used to snicker at, and one point I used to kind of, in a sense, mock, but today it's everywhere, and we do it here at Bethany, and that is online giving, that people can give. I know there's two ministries that I support outside of Bethany where every month they take it out of my checkbook. So we're able to give online. So this is the good in technology. These are ways that we can use technology to the honor and glory of God. Now let's look at the bad. And here's where we start getting into trouble. When we look at the bad that's in technology. First of all, let me say, point number one, technology is impersonal. Technology is impersonal. In Hebrews chapter 10, let's turn there. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. The scripture says that we are to be face to face and person to person. Well, where do you get that from? He says in the text, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. He didn't say, let us not forsake connecting with one another in email. He didn't say, let us not forsake Facebooking one another. He didn't say, let us not forsake texting one another. He said, let us not forsake the face-to-face, person-to-person contact with one another. And there are people who get caught up in the virtual world to the point where they even begin to lose their social interaction and the ability to, and not only the ability, but watch this, the desire for real interaction. They don't want it anymore. It's easier for me to be in this virtual world where I don't have to have anybody bump up against me. I don't have to have to answer any questions, but I can just live my life the way that I want to live it and not have to be impeded on by others. You know, there are times when people go out for family gatherings and you sit there and everybody, there could be five or six people that's out at a family gathering and everybody's on their device. And you look and you're saying, yo, where's the fellowship at there? Yo, where's the interaction at the end? So here is a case where technology has become personal. Because there was a day, you know, there used to be a day when the family dinner hour was the most important time for the family. And why was that? That was because that was a time when the family came, they sat down, and everybody talked about their day. And they talked about what was going on in their lives and talked about where they were headed. But today, people sit around and everybody got a gadget. You know, the kids, the little kids, you know, they got their games. Teenagers got their phones. The adults have their phones, and everybody's checking this, checking that, and nobody's talking to each other. So technology could become very impersonal. You know, I know for me, and I hate to make this confession, and, you know, one of the things that, you know, sometimes I maybe confess things that I shouldn't, but you know, I like email because it saves you from having to get on the phone and start talking to somebody, right? I mean, if you get on the phone and you start talking, then you're going to probably spend more time around the point that you're trying to get with this person than if you just emailed them, you shot them an email, they emailed you back, you got what you needed. But you know, when you call somebody, well, how you doing? You know, so you got to go through all that. But see, what is that? See, that's the personal element, right? How you doing? You know, what's going on? You know, that's person to person. But email is impersonal. And again, email is a blessing because it lets you connect and communicate. But it depersonalizes relationships. I know I'm getting ready to get in trouble here. But some people would rather go to church online than come and worship with the saints. You know, you can stay in your pajamas, you can drink your coffee, and you can sit right there, and you can worship right there. And you know, that's good, and I praise God for the ability that we have to worship, you know, by watching our computer, and we can connect in, you know, if we live in Pittsburgh and our home.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Technology, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Technology, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Technology, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Technology, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed by the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.